Today's daf in Masechet Ta'anit, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Yud Beit, and we got up to yesterday, V'omar Rav Chista, the last words on the third line is exactly where we get up to, I believe. If I'm making a mistake, please let me know. So we were talking about what is considered to be a Ta'anit Sha'ot, and the various different the approaches between the Yerushalmi and the Bavli, and whether it's Shayach to Paskin the way the Rambam Paskins, even though he wrote in a letter according to the Ritva, he changed his mind about that Psak, was never changed in Mishneh Torah. In any event, Halacha L'maisa, we end up, of course, doing it only if it ends up being the whole day, like Rav Chista said yesterday, and today, the Yom Rav Chista, Kol Ta'anit Shalosh Shaka'ah Lav Chama, if the sun didn't set on it, then it's not considered to be a Ta'anit, which is consistent with what he said yesterday. The sun setting is a little bit confusing because it's mashma that right after Shkia, you're able to eat. But the Tosis explains elsewhere, this means Sof Shkia, which essentially includes the period of the Ben HaShemoshes. This was similar to the discussion with the Rabbeinu Tam about how long Ben HaShemoshes is, and his use of the word Shkia is the Sof Shkia. And the question is that it seems from the Mishnah we're going to have later on that this is not the case, because what Rav Chista is saying is that the technical term of Ta'anit, in terms of being Mekayim and Neder, in terms of having the schus of a Ta'anit in what it is that it accomplishes in terms of his kapora, in terms of the tefillas anenu, whether he's supposed to say anenu, mashma from Rav Chista that it's entirely defined by the idea of the nighttime, that you have to finish it, and otherwise we don't call a Ta'anit Sha'ot as a Ta'anit at all. But the problem is that the Mishnah later on says that the Kohanim who are busy in the Mishmar, and they're supposed to be doing the Aved in the Beis HaMikdash, they do fast, mit'anim, but they don't fast till the end of the day. So you see from there that it's called mit'anim while you are fasting, and this is true even though it's not defined as a fast, according to Rav Chista, because they didn't end the day in the fast. Says the Gemara, what that means is that they don't eat. It doesn't mean that they're fasting. And people use that term interchangeably. And that's what the Mishnah is doing. It's not saying technically it's a Ta'anit. It's saying that what it is that they're doing is they're trying to be mishtatef im hatzibur, but they're not allowed to fast because they're mechuyev to do the Aveda with the full concentration and bizrizos. So in order to show hishtatfut yimat zibur, they don't eat for a little while. It's only to show that sense of participation that they should suffer a little bit, but it certainly was not meant to have a din of a real ta'anit. Now, it's because of this that, as I mentioned to you yesterday, the way the Bahag puts it so beautifully, to make this distinction, this is on yesterday's Daf and Amud Beis, Tosfos brings the beautiful lashon of the Bahag. Yesh ochel umitpalel tefillat ta'anit, v'yesh mit'aneh v'eino mitpalel. That's very interesting. You can have somebody who's in the middle of eating and he's still saying anenu. And you can have somebody who's fasting and he can't say anenu. So in other words, in the case that we had yesterday, that you say the tefillah anenu in the morning, even though you've been eating and fressing all night long, but we said that lamachar, it's still the ta'anit. This was the whole discussion we had about Ramesh's tshuva and so on. And you have also the inverse, that there are people who are fasting, but let's say in the case of someone who wasn't eating, like this case, and you fasted like the whole day, and you're continuing to fast, the guy decides he wants to continue not eating. The Gemara said yesterday, even though he's not eating for 40 hours, he's still not considered to be in a Ta'anit, because he was bedafka mekabel. That first period is a Ta'anit, he wasn't mekabel the second one. He's not eating. It's a continuation of a real Ta'anit that began. Big deal. That's not what defines the Tfilas Anenu. So notice the Bahag wants to clarify that not eating is not the same as fasting, and that fasting is a state that is not necessarily defined by whether you're eating at that point. So the Yom HaTa'anit is a din in a moed, which is a fascinating idea. And Lamaisa, the Rif connects it to the pasuk that we're going to have at the end of today's sugya. And that is, it says in the pasuk to be kitru tzom, kiru atzara. So that means that tzom requires a special kviut, to be mekadesh the yom as a tzom, and it's nogea kriya, the same way kriyat ha-moed is nogea kriya. That's a completely different way of understanding it, and that ta'aniyot are not just what it is that you do physically, it's rather the determination of a special kedushas hazman, and that's why it belongs in moed. That's why it's not part of brachas, in which we're just talking about the tefillahs. Over here, it's an actual din of kedushas hazman. If you don't have that kedushas hazman, you don't say the tefillah of the zman. If you do have the kedushas hazman, you say the tefillah of the zman, even though you're not fasting. Although some say you should take out the words b'yom tzom ta'anitenu if you're not fasting. But nonetheless, the fact is not tzom ta'anitenu, but it's still ta'anitenu. It has the din of a ta'anit. Remarkably concise and beautiful way of seeing the sugya. That's why I thought it was good to interrupt for that. Anyway, getting back to what we were saying. So, Aliba de Rav Chisda, when it says over there that the Anshei Mishmar in the Mishnah, they fasted, it doesn't mean that they fasted. It means that they didn't eat. Okay, well, what are you going to do with this? It says over here, Toshma, take a look. What Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzodok said, I come from the children, the family of Sina'at, should say, Ben Binyamin. And that means that we have the holiday. That was a whole beautiful Maisa where they got away with being able to bring Eitzim to the Mizbeach. They pretended that they had ladders and that they were going to pick fruit. And so anyway, they were Koveya for them a special holiday, even though the normal Korban Eitzim, when people dedicated, which was, we find, was set up in the early days of the Bayis Sheni. But over there, there's no mitzvah on Beis Din to bring those pieces of wood that they bring on the day of their Korban Eitzim. We just put them aside, we store them, and when we need them, we'll use them. But the B'nai Sina'ah, they have a special schus that they were given that day as a Korban Eitzim. So even if we don't need their Eitzim, those Eitzim are brought on the Mizbeach as a carbon. Remember that there's a din of a carbon of Eitz. Besides used for burning, you actually bring the Eitz as a carbon. So the day of a carbon became a holiday. And for the B'nai Sina'ah ben Binyamin, even though, by the way, this is talking about after the Churban, okay, because this is at the time of the Rabbi Gamliel, who was only a child at the time of the Churban. And nonetheless, apparently, as the Rishonim are Medayik, they used to keep this as a holiday even after the Churban Abayis. So because of that, the day of that holiday was the 10th day of Av, as is listed. We're going to see all of this later. And the 10th day of Av is normally not a problem. But what happens when Tisha B'Av came out on a Shabbos, and then they pushed it off to the 10th day of Av. So now we had a problem. Because since for us it has a din of a Yontev, what are we supposed to do about the Tisha B'Av, which was Nitcha to our holiday? So, Pa'am Achat Chal Tisha B'Av Liyot B'Shabbat, Utchinuhu Le'achar Shabbat. And so because they ended up making the Tzom Tisha B'Av on the 10th day of Av, that was our holiday. So what we did was, we fasted, but we didn't finish the times. V'lo yishlamnu mipnei sheyom tov shelonu hu, because this was our special yontov. Okay, so apparently, even though they didn't finish the fast, it says beferish, we did not finish, but nonetheless, it's called a fast. No, says Rabbi Elazar, no, even the case of Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok, says Rabbi Chisda, it's the same idea that we wanted to be mitzayer nafshenu, because we needed to show our hishtatvas in the tzibur's Tisha B'Av, so to speak, it was Asiri B'Av, but it was not a technical tainus. And they never pretended that it was a real tainus in terms of the dinim and so on. Toshma, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Here's another problem. Ehei b'tanit ha-tshavo leviti. Why do we understand that Rabbi Yochanan, very often he used to do this when he was traveling or something, he would say, I should be in a tainus until I get home. But as soon as he got home, even if it was early, he would eat. But I thought that according to you, Reb Chisda, there's no point in saying I should be in a tainus until I get home, because there's no such thing as a tainus shaot that is not completed at the end of the day. So how did he eat when he got home? No, you don't know what was going on over there. Over there, Rabbi Yochanan, this is like what people do nowadays when they don't trust the kashrus, you know. So they say, well, you know, I'm in a tainus. Or they say, I'm a vegan. Whatever. So you can't invite them. So Rabbi Yochanan had the same problem. Everybody used to invite him, you know. So the Nazi would invite him. So he'd say, oh, I'm so sorry, but I can't come because I should be in a tainus today. So I don't want you to have any tircha. So he'd be mekabel tainus. But it wasn't really that it was mekabel tainus. He went, what he meant was, I'm not going to eat till I get home. Okay. So I was, l'shimuti nafshi mibeinesia u'da'ava. Or my shmua. A tainus that you're not mekabel on yourself while it's the day before, shelo kibel av mibe'od yom, lav shmei ta'anit. Now remember, we mentioned yesterday, this big machlokas rishonim, whether this means what you're going to have the full day as a tainus. But if, lamaisa, it's one of the cases in which you're doing a ta'anit of sha'ot, where over there you didn't eat in the morning, let's say that classic case. You didn't eat in the morning because your phone calls, and then you decided you want to have a tainus. So now you need to be mekabel the tainus. So many are paskin that you could be mekabel the tainus as long as it's before the tainus. But others learned about the Gemara of Yerke Pshutai. You must be mekabel the tainus, even if it's a tainus shot, you must be mekabel the day before. And what if you did go ahead and you bake your tainus and you didn't mekabel it the day before, and you decided in the morning, you know what, I want to keep today as a tainus, what would be the din? Omar Rabba Bar Shila, what's the din? The din is that he's like a bellows filled with air. You got a lot of air in your tummy? Yeah? That's great. I hope you enjoyed it, because that's about all it's worth. It certainly has accomplished absolutely nothing for you. You know, so you're full of hot air, basically. Okay, so now the question is, do you have to do this Kabbalah? By the way, it's a machlokas rishonim, whether the Kabbalah has to be literally in words, bepeh, or like Rabbeinu Tam says, it's enough to be makabal belev. Halacha lamaisa, we say that you have to be makabal belev. Anyway, so Rav says, look, it's during the period of mincha. So like after the mincha ketana period, it doesn't matter. You could be walking down the highway. You could be in the middle of shopping or filling up the gas of your car, and you say, Hareini b'ta'anit yachid machar, as we'll see why you have to say that. And that's fine. Reb Shmuel says, no, it has to be during the actual tefillah of the mincha. Not that it's stam at the time in the day, but it's part of the actual connection to the coming day. So according to Rav, as long as it's a period of mincha, it doesn't have to be mechuber to the day of the tainus, and the last possible time where you're in the middle of the talking out the various tachanunim that you do at the end of your tefillah, that's not the point. It could be before, a week before, whatever, but that's the period to be makab. Omer of Yosef Kavosi Shmuel Mistavra. Well, Shmuel makes much more sense, because if you take a look in Megillat Ta'anit, after it writes all of the takonas of the various holidays of Megillat Ta'anit, it has a discussion about who these various minor holidays of Megillat Ta'anit, upon whom are they chal. So it says over there this lashon, Lahen kol inish, that any individual, the yaiti aluye mikadmat dana, in which he had a ta'anit before this, before we have this holiday. So let's say somebody was mekabel on himself. He's going to fast sheni v'chamishi sheni for the next 2 months. It turned out that one of those days falls out on one of the Megillat Ta'anit holidays. So there, what we want him to know, that individual, if he started his ta'aniot before us, yeyasar. Now, it's not clear what yeyasar means. Yeyasar seems to mean he should be usher. So what exactly does that mean? That he should not cancel his tainus. I'm assuming, says Rabbi Yosef, that means is yeyasar. That now what he ha- what he has to do, I mean, we're talking about a case where he was already mekabel on himself to be misana, sheni v'chamishi sheni. I mean, he was in a series of taniot before. So when it's adding yeyasar, it's mashma, he should make himself osir, which I assume to mean that that is bitzilo during the davening. In other words, he needs to osir himself again, which is what Shmuel says. And if that's the case, then it doesn't help that he was mekabel the tainis before, like Rav was saying. He needs to be re-mekabel right before the tanit in order for him to have the tanit, and otherwise he would not actually fast. No. That's not what it means, Rabbi Yosef. It might mean ye'aser atzmo, that he has to act as if he is osir to eat, and it's not going to be, for him, a holiday. I mean, that's what it means. Now, actually, Pligi Baruchi of Reb Shimon Barebi, there was an old machlokis directly about what the meaning of the language in Megillat Ta'anit is. Chadomer ye'aser, ye'aser, that means he should aser himself, and the other one says ye'aser, that he is in fact aser. So the mandiomer ye'aser means, like we said, that you have to be mekabel the tainus again in the tfilas mincha, immediately before that particular day of the tainus. Whereas Leman Diomar Ye'aser, what does that mean, Ye'aser? It means Detanya B'Megillat Ta'anit. It means what it says in Megillat Ta'anit. This is the Lashon of their machlokes. The Kolinish, the Yaitil, Mikad Metana, Ye'aser. When we say Ye'aser, this is the continuation of the Braisa in Megillat Ta'anit, of the Braisa of Megillat Ta'anit. So it says over there, Ketzad. Let's say a guy accepted on himself, he's going to fast every Monday and Thursday the entire year. So in that case, the Iroboyamim Tovim, he didn't work it out every single one. It turns out that some of those fasts came out on one of the days that were Yamim Tovim Aktovim B'Megillat Ta'anit. So im nidro kodim gzeiratenu. So what it says over there, if he made this neder, before we made this gezerah, so it's not before the day came, it's before the event happened that we made the gezerah of, so then yevatel nidro et gezeratenu. Since he had made the neder to fast before, so then that is mevatel our gezerah. So they built this into the etzim gezerah of Megillas Tainis, and it shouldn't be a contradiction, and therefore, even if he didn't do a re-yeaser, he didn't the day before make himself usher again. That's what it means. But if Megillat Ta'anit had already established that this day is a tainis before he makes that neder, then tevatel gzeratenu et nidro. Then yeaser means he is going to be usher, and he is going to be usher to fast, basically, and he's going to have to accept our gezera. That's what it means. So basically, the case where he did have the netter before is not mechayev him to get a new netter. And therefore, that's like Rav. Rav says you don't need to go ahead and make a special netter the day before. Whatever your makabel is, it's fine. So now, what is the din of somebody who has a minor tainis, whether it's a yochid's minor tainis or whether it's the first tanisim that goes in al atzibor, where you're allowed to eat and drink all night long? How long can you eat and drink? Ad matai ochel v'shoteh, all night long, until amud ha-shachar. So says Rebbe. Rebbe Lozib, Rebbe Shimon Omer, it's until the first krot ha-gever, where the cock crows. And as we point out, the Rishonim point out, it doesn't say over here till the third, which is in terms of other dinim. Over here, it's right away the first time you have an indication that there's a sensitivity to the breaking dawn, biological sensitivity, even though you don't sense it, that's sufficient. Omer Abaye, now 1 second, when it says that you can continue eating, that is only where you didn't complete your su'udah. I mean, if you had a su'udah, let's say midnight, you had a midnight snack, you know, and then you bench, you finish your su'udah. Now you want to eat again at 4 o'clock in the morning before the alos ha-shachar. You can't do that because you've already gomer the su'udah. So that itself is considered to be the end of the night and the beginning of the period in which you can't fast. So Loshanu Ela Shelo Gamar Su'udato. Ava Gamar Su'udato Eino Ochel. Now listen, remember the question that we had yesterday as to whether in reality the din of the Tainis, in terms of the chalos of the Kedusha of the Tainis, so to speak, in the Kir'ut Som, does it actually start the night before, or does it only start in the morning? The entire assumption of this sugya is very strange, according to those who hold that it only starts in the morning, because why would it have anything to do with when I finish my suda? Why does it have anything to do with how long can you eat? What do you mean, how long can you eat? The Isser Achila begins in the morning. That's when it's the Tainis. It's not the Tainis the night before. So what kind of silly question is that? Why should I not be allowed to eat before the Tainis? You see, if you hold that the entire day is the Tainis, so then I understand the entire day is the Tainis, so why am I eating at night? Because the nighttime I'm allowed to eat. Until what time in the nighttime I'm allowed to eat? Fine, that's what we're discussing here. Until Gomeret Su'udato, or until Amud HaShachar, until Krotz HaGever, whatever. But if it's not a Tainis at all, it's a little bit silly to be discussing, why can you eat? What do you mean, why can I eat? Why can't I eat? It's no different than any other day of the year. Okay, anyway. So according to Abaya, once you're Gomer the Suda, you can't eat. So now the question is, Rava says, how do you explain then the following Braisa? Gomar v'amad, if you finish your meal, you stood up and you decide you want a cup of coffee, you can sit back down and you can eat. It's saying mamish the opposite of Abaye. So where does Abaye get this from? No, says Abaye over there. It's talking about that you didn't take away the table. Remember that in those days, you only signify the complete end of a se'udah by the actual removal of the serving table. Because they used to eat on these little serving tables by their couches. But, okay, but otherwise, enochinami. If you don't have a siluk se'udah anymore, so then just standing up and leaving is enough. There it's talking about you didn't really have a clear-cut commitment to finish eating. Or others say, Omar Rava. The difference is, this is a different way of seeing the difference between Rava and Abaya, Lo Shana Ala Kishalo Yashen. That Rava said, not the question, what Rava said here is that if you didn't sleep, you're allowed to eat. But if you did go to sleep, then you were no longer involved in eating. And therefore, once you slept, Eino Ochel. Etve Abaye, and in this version, Abaye asks on Rava, not Rava on Abaye, how can you say that once you sleep, you're not allowed to eat? If it says in the Braisa, if you slept and got up later in the night and it's still before Amud HaShachar, that you are allowed to eat. So this is exactly against what Rava said. And Rava answers the equivalent situation that Abaye had to answer to Rava, meaning just like Abaye said, well, it doesn't mean you totally finished your meal. Rava answers the same thing. It doesn't mean you totally slept. You were just like you were in Dafyomi, you know, mitnamneim, only half asleep. What does mitnamneim mean? Hechidami mitnamneim. We've had this Gemara so many times. What's the mitnamneim? Omer Vashi, mitnamneim means you're neem velo neem. You're sleeping, but you're not really fully sleeping. You're awake, you're tear, but you're not really fully awake. So the way that you can see this is when somebody calls you, you know, you respond. I mean, Richie's always ready to say, yes, I'm here, fully engaged. Okay, so there's enough consciousness to be able to respond to your name. Sure, I'm here. But on the other hand, you know, and you can even say something to me. You say, tell me something. Did you put the keys to the car in the refrigerator? So he'll say, yeah or no. But if he needs to think something out and give you a response, that he can't do. He's not really able to explain something to you. But if you tell him, did you put the keys in the refrigerator or not, he'll remember. So that, yes. So he's not being extremely creative in his semi-somnolent situation. Omrifkan omarab. Yochid Shekiba, by the way, this is, as you know, this is very, very nogea, this question. And many of the Rishonim bring out that if you make a specific condition and you say, even though I am going to sleep or even though I have finished eating, that I do not intend to not eat again, and bedafka, my mind is yes to eat, then that condition helps and you're allowed to eat all the way up until the alos hashachar. The question is, if you did not make such a condition, whether it would still be osur on you to eat or drink, like the pashas of the sugya. So really what the Mishnah Berurah paskins in the end is, that since there are Rishonim that say that the whole discussion over here is only legabe eating, because eating has a kviyas, but the fact that you stopped drinking and you didn't have a drink of water doesn't mean that you don't intend to drink again. It's different. I mean, how many snacks do you have in the middle of the night? But drinking, people will drink. They'll just get up in the middle of the night, feel thirsty, and they'll still drink. So maybe from drinking, it's not considered to be a siluk, that you stop drinking. And therefore, you'd be allowed to drink even if you fell asleep or even if you're gomer tsudasai, and that would be without any kind of tanai. And that really me'ikra din you're allowed to rely on. Because of that, the Mishnah Berurah says, look, it's basically a function of the individual. In other words, if the individual knows that when he goes to sleep, when he wakes up in the middle of the night, he'll take a drink as a norm, and he won't stop go through the whole night without drinking. So such a person would be allowed to rely on it even without a tanai. Lemaisa, the paiskim, the Nisei Kelim and the Shulchan Aruch say it's best to be machmir and to make sure that you do make that tanai. So that way you won't have a problem of drinking at the last minute. Omer Rav Kahana, Omer Rav. This whole idea of an individual as being mekabla tainis can lead you into problems. Why? Because when you just say you're mekabla tainis, it doesn't define what things you meant to be mekabla when you were mekabla that tainis. So when you say I'm going to be in a tainis tomorrow, does that mean that you want the halachas of a tainis tzibur, meaning a ta'anit chamura? Or do you mean the kind of ta'anit that the Mishnah called the ta'anit of the yechidim, which is a play on words of the ta'anit yachid? Therefore, Rav said that if somebody was mekabla tainis and he didn't define what he meant, then he would not even be allowed to put on his shoes the next day. Why? Because chayshinan shema ta'anit tzibur kibel alav. Maybe when he said I'm being mekabla tainis, he meant he's being mekabla ta'anit chamura, which means that he's not allowed to wear his shoes. Now, some of the poskim are medayek that this is only that he can't wear his shoes. It does not say, as you would have expected, we've just been talking about the problem of whether the person is allowed to eat during the night. I mean, you would expect that that's what Rav would address, right? That a guy who's mekabel tainis and he didn't say precisely what kind of tainis, maybe he should be usher to eat during the night. It doesn't say that. So in other words, that is an umdana, that he certainly did not have kavana when he said, I'm going to be in a tainis tomorrow. He didn't mean tonight. That's for sure. The only question is, what chumra of the tainis did he mean? Even the chumra satainis of the inuyim? Or did he mean just not eating? So he has to be machmer because chayshinan shema ta'anit tzibur kibel alav. How do we know that he didn't mean to be mekabel a full chomur tainis tzibur? So what should he do in order to make sure he doesn't get into this problem? When he's mekabel the tainis, Omer Rabba Bar Rav Shila, this is the language that he should say. L'machar ehe lefanecha b'ta'anit yachid. That tomorrow, is making it very clear that in his mind it means in the next morning, I should be in a state of a ta'anit before you, Ribbono Shel Olam, of a tainis yachid. Omer le'rabbanu l'Rav Sheshes. You know, we've seen a lot of the Talmidei Chachamim that they go around, Kachazina Rabbana, the Mesayimim Misa'anayim, Va'atu Lavei Ta'anita, that when it comes to the Ta'aniot Tzibur, which are Asur Ben Yilas Asando, so we see them coming, wearing their shoes, to the Beit Ta'anita. The Beit Ta'anita is because, as we're going to see, in the Ta'aniot Tzibur, they used to call the entire Tzibur together to a massive stadium or whatever they have, that is the Rechava, where everybody gets together. And yet we've seen people wearing shoes, even though it was part of the final Taniyot Tzibur, which are also being as a sandal. So how could you possibly do that? Now, Lemaisa, they were being Semech on Shmuel, who says, Ein Tani Tzibur Bebavel, that there is no Chumrah of the Taniyot Tzibur and Bavel, as we discussed yesterday. So because of that, they didn't hold it was usur. But Rav Sheshes, who heard about this, was very upset because he said, oh, really? They were wearing their shoes. I'm assuming they were probably also, you know, having a salami sandwich on the side, you know? Maybe they eat also. Dilma mechel nami ochel. I mean, if they want to wear shoes already, I mean, they might as well go all the way, you know, because he does not hold of Shmuel. Rav Sheshes held that the Taniot Tzibur that were gozer, if were gozer and bavel, they have all of the chumers of Taniot Tzibur. And Abaye v'Rava, what they used to do is that they would wear just the panta. The panta is the upper. So they would not wear their shoes with a sole, but they would put on the upper of the shoe. Marema Marzutra would wear shoes, but they had their right shoe on their left foot and the left shoe on the right foot. So they would switch. Machlefe, the Yamina, the smaller, the Yamina, and the Rabbanan by Ravashi, they wore shoes normally because they paskined straight out like Shmuel, that Ein Ta'anit Tzibur B'Bavel, Ala Tisha B'Av Bilvad, and therefore they weren't even paying any attention to the local Minhagim, the people who would be more Machmir, or to Rav Sheshes, who was very upset about people who would do that. And they held that it was completely mutter. Omer Yudom Rav. Another fascinating halacha is that even though you were mekabel a tainis, you are allowed to borrow your tainis and pay it back. So love adam ta'anito, and you pay it back some other day. So let's say that it turned out that you had a very good reason, that the Rishonim speak out, it should be a good reason. The Rambam says maybe you have a sort of a bris milah on that day, or maybe an Adam Gadol came to town and you didn't have any idea that that was going to happen. So you have a right to say, okay, you know what? I won't fast today, even though I said I was going to be in a matzv of Tainis Tzibur, a Tainis Yochid. I won't fast today. I'll pay it back some other time. Now, this is because we do not consider the statement of Ehei b'ta'anit lefanecha as a real neder. And it's considered to be a commitment, like a commitment to give tzedakah. So the halacha is you, let's say you commit to give tzedakah. You can, until that tzedakah gets to the gabbai of the tzedakah, and somebody else comes along with a bigger need in your mind, you can give it to someone else. And it's not considered to be a violation of your commitment, because we understand that the ikar point was to be mekayim, the getter of the aveda, the mitzvah that you had accepted on yourself. This is how we understand the umdana, because look, you cannot really make a neder to do something. You can only make a shvua to do something, right? The guy certainly didn't make a shvua. So in other words, the fact that he is like nidre mitzvahs in which you're mekabel on yourself something. So we call that a getter of a neder, but it's not that the details are going to be definitive. So just like if you're holding $10, you say, I'm going to give this $10 to tzedakah. You're not going to give those $10 to tzedakah. You can give, from your piggy bank, collect all your pennies and give $10 worth of pennies to tzedakah. So the idea over here is that you indeed agreed to fast. It didn't work out for today, you know. It's like you have a terrible headache today. That's also enough, according to most of the Mefarshim, Kabilo Ve'aporea. So then, says Rav Yehuda, remember, Rav Yehuda used to learn by Rav. After Rav was Nifter, he went to learn by Shmuel. So oftentimes we have that Rav Yehuda says, I said over the Maimer to Shmuel, and Shmuel disagreed. So here, too, I said this over to Shmuel, and Shmuel said, what do you mean he has to pay back? Why does he have to pay back? I mean, v'chi neder kibel alei de lo sagid lo mishalem. I understand, what is this, a real kabbalah of a neder that he's mechuyev to pay it back? The person was interested in being tzuri nafshe. That's basically the idea. And if he can, he can. If not, not. I mean, he never said, oh my gosh, you know, there's got to be a day that I'm going to fast. I thought I would be able to fast today, and it didn't work out. So Litsuri Nafshe Kibelale Imatsi Bitsara Nafshe, fine, but Ilomatsi, Lomitsara Nafshe. It was obvious that that is understandable. If the guy has some kind of emergency or doesn't feel well or whatever, he doesn't have to pay it back. Or there's another Ikedi Amre about this, that is not what Shmuel said. Now what happened was that Rav Yehuda Rav said, Lova Adam Ta'anito Uforeya, And Shmuel didn't argue in this version. Ki amrita kamei de Shmuel, when I went ahead and I told Shmuel that this is what Rav said, Shmuel said to me, well, obviously, I don't understand. Pshita. I mean, let's say it would be a neder to do a mitzvah. Neder mi lamatzi boi shel shlumi umezi lamachar liyum achrina. I mean, so when the guy says, I'm a Kabbalah myself to be misaneh, so it has to be dafka this day. Of course, he could take another day. That's obviously his intent. So in this version, Shmuel did agree that you would have to actually pay it back. So he considers it to be, yes, it's a neder, like a neder to tzedakah, which you can change, but you can't just cancel. So if you're going to give the tzedakah to someone else before it came l'day gabbai, fine. But you can't say, I changed my mind. Same thing is true over here. Now, there's a lot of machlokas about this issue as to when this is true. In other words, if the person defined the day and he said, you know, on Zion, or if something, Zion b'cheshvan, I'm going to fast, or if he has a particular reason to fast that day, let's say it's a yahrzeit or something, right? So then we do view it as a specific kind of commitment, not one which he's saying, yeah, if I can't do it tomorrow, I'll do it some other day. Obviously, it depends on the circumstances and on the lashon of the Kabbalah. Rav Yehoshua Barei de Ravidi once came to visit Ravasi, so Ikla de Ravasi, and they made this incredible meal for him, of Dula Igla Tilta. So they made him like the third-born calf, which is the most delicious and the best. And he said, so they say to Rav Yehoshua, please, you know, have some of what we made for you. So he said to them, I can't eat today. It's a tinus for me. Petanita yativna. So they said to him, okay, so why don't you borrow your tinus, meaning take it for yourself and pay it back some other time. Come on. I mean, this is like really good lamb chops, you know? So actually it was steaks, right? Or veal. Lozif mar velifra. I mean, don't you hold of the famous psak of Rav Yudah Merav that a person could be lovet to anito foreya? So Rav Yeshua said to them, you don't understand. It wasn't that I was bekabel. This is a tainis. This is a ta'anit chalom. Now, from over here, we learn that a ta'anit chalom is actually a chiev and called a tainis without a kabbalah. So, I mean, obviously the guy wakes up in the morning after having a dream, a bad dream. So he wasn't able to be mekabel that tainis in advance. So the ta'anit chalom is considered to be a ta'anit because it's ipso facto part of the way that people relate to the chalom. And therefore, first of all, you don't need to be mekabel. But the bigger problem is that you can't borrow a ta'anit chalom. Why? Because since Omar Rabba Bar Bachasi, Omar Rav Chama Bar Guria, that Yofet ta'anit chalom ke'esh l'na'oret, that the best thing to be mevatel any type of pain or any type of worries that you have about a chalom ra is to fast over it. And that's as good as the way that a flash fire will eat up every last bit from your flax work. And Rav Chista explained, but when? Only if you do it on the same day when you wake up after the dream. And Rav Yosef says, you know how chomer that is? That it's even meant to be done on Shabbos. So, therefore, there's no way that I can do it. Now, just stomp for you to know, halacha l'maisa, all of the poskim b'zman hazeh say that we do not keep ta'aniyot chalom. For many different reasons, but this is the way the Chazon Ish has a big letter about it, and Rav Avadya Yosef has a big tshuva on it. It is not our minhag to keep ta'aniyot chalom. We don't really know what the dreams mean. There's no reason we keep a ta'aniyot chalom. It's as if we're being koveya it as being a bad dream. Look at some of those dreams in Masechet Brachot. They seem like horrible dreams. The Gemara says, oh, these are amazing dreams. This is a sign of, you know, you're going to come into $1 million or you're going to get a new career or whatever. And it sounded like it was the end. So because of that, we don't keep ta'aniyot chalom at all. Certainly not to be docha Shabbos. But anyway, what should one do if one was docha Shabbos because of the chalom? Leitiv ta'anita la'ta'anita. So this is similar to Poreya, because the idea over here is that since you had a chiyuv to eat on Shabbos, and you were mezalzel in the covet of Shabbos by keeping a tainis halom, even though that's the halacha, but it's a halacha for personal needs. And though you say, but you had no choice, it's all very nice, you had no choice, but things are not, this is important to Kuda, things are not black and white. It's not that once this is something that should be done, therefore didn't have any bad effects on other elements that should have been done too, that you didn't do. You're making life extremely simplistic. So what do you do about the fact that because of your personal needs, you ended up depriving Shabbos of Kovod and of the Seudais that were Roy for Shabbos? You have to fast about the fact that you fasted on Shabbos. So therefore, you're going to have to keep a tainis for keeping the tainis chalom. And now it's time for our favorite capitan. What happens if there's still no rain? So the three taniot of the Echidim have passed. The three taniot, the first three taniot of the Tzibor have passed. Now what? Beit Din gozrim shalosh taniot acherot al Tzibor. Now we have another set of fasts, and they're more chomer. They have a din of a tainis tzibur, and therefore you can only eat and drink erev the fast. So ochlim v'shotin only be ba'od yom, once after shkia, you're not allowed to eat. And there aser b'malacha, just even worse than Tisha B'Av, note. Because remember, Tisha B'Av is not aser b'malacha. There's a minach, mokam shenagu, and there's an inyan not to work on Tisha B'Av. But there's no Isser of Malachas. That means that this is more chomer than Tisha B'Av, and it's also in all of the other inyanim, rechitza, sicha, nilas sandal, tashmish amita, and not only that, we lock up all of the public baths so that people will not have access to the swimming pools. What about if it still doesn't rain, and avru elo, and still lo nanu? Based in Gozun Aleim Od Sheva, which means that there's now a total of 13 Taniyot Al Tzibur, Shein Yud Gimel Taniyot Al Tzibur. The first three had the same din as the Tainis Yochid. The second three were Chomur. The last seven are Chomur, and that gives us a total of 13. Hare Elo Yiteirot Al Rishonot, but these are even more Chomur than the original six. Shebe'elu matri'in. In these, we have a question of trua. It's a question in the Gemara. Does matri'in mean bitfila, or does matri'in mean with the chatzotzot, with the shofarot, as was done later? V'no'alim et achanuyot, we close the shopping centers. On a Yom Sheni fast, we allow the doors to be a little bit open towards the evening, because people need to be able to get food, so at least the grocery stores are allowed to be open up in the later part of the day. On Thursdays, we allow them to be open all day because of Shabbos shopping. The Gemara is going to ask, when we say they're allowed to open, does it mean completely open, or does it mean matin also? That we'll talk about. And what about then if it still doesn't rain, chas v'chalila, ovru eila and still lo nanu? So then, mimatin, b'masau, v'matan. So then people basically treat themselves as if they're in a matzav of avelut. You don't do things that are construction projects, b'binyan, b'netia, or good business deals, b'erisin, b'nisuin, u'b'sheilat shalom, b'nonam l'chavero. So then we act as we do on the avelus during the period of the Tisha B'Av or Bein HaMetzarim, or the 9 days, depending on your minhag, kibnei adam anizufim lemakom, as if you were people who were publicly insulted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chas v'chalila. That's the end of the fast, but now we go back to the Yechidim, because now that the Tzibur can't handle any more than this, but the Yechidim, those special people of sensitivity, they are chozrin umit anim, they go back. and they start making their fasts, Ad Sheyetzei Nisan. So you go all the way till the end of Nisan, as well as it doesn't really mean Nisan, but we'll talk about it when it's whenever the period works out in the solar year. Yotza Nisan, V'yardu Geshamim, if after Nisan, it starts to rain, that's bad news. That's a simen klola. Shenemar, haluk tzir chitim ayom, like we brought earlier, as Shmuel tells everyone, you want to see gadora atchem, lish'olach emelech, take a look at the fact that it's raining now after Nisan. So then already it isn't proper to be mevakish gishamim.